You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Will you pray with me and pray for me? Oh God, I pause right now thanking you for this opportunity that you are affording me to proclaim your word. And I ask that on this day you would save me from me. Hide me in the shadow, oh God, and allow everything that comes forth on this day to be pleasing to you. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. The little believer who could. On this day when we both are celebrating World Communion Sunday and, believe it or not, National Do Something Nice Day, some of the events, both past and upcoming, have caused me to remember the famous line from The Little Engine That Could. Some of you may remember, I think I can. I think I can. And then later on, the little engine transitions from I think I can to I know I can. Am I the only one that remembers that? Okay, I'm young, so I gotta, you know. Some of y'all laughed a little too heartily on that. Contrary to popular belief, this pastor's work week does not begin and end on Sunday mornings during the worship celebration. This misperception is not found here in this place or among these saints, but there are some in other places who do not understand the demands of a pastor. Between caring for families in crisis and visitations to assisted living facilities and preparing for church meetings, those church meetings, and attending district and conference meetings and preparations for Bible study and counseling and officiating weddings and ministering and officiating funerals and even blessing pets on the steps of the church house. And oh yes, let's not forget the Sunday morning sermon. And then trying to carve out quality time for family, long distance and local, and making sure that my bills are paid and trying to get back into shape. Trying. It's very difficult here in New York City with all of the options that are available gastronomically. But it seems like there are more things that I have to do than there are sometimes hours in the day. I do not tell this story for sympathy or even an awe. I understand that the majority of us do have busy schedules and that our supply does not always meet the demand. I understand. I understand how at times our patience becomes shorter as the requests become longer. I understand. I understand how too many times it seems like we have to cram 10 pounds of stuff into a 2-pound sock. I understand. Some of y'all are smiling at me. But I also think that we should consider becoming more like the little engine that could with a twist. Our word from God today is that if we place our trust in God, then we can indeed become that little believer who could. We can look at mountains that face us and the storms that try to carry us away and move from thinking, yes, we can, to knowing that with God in our life, we will. Now, prior to our gospel lesson, Jesus has told his disciples, that's us also, y'all, that we are not only responsible for our actions, but also for rebuking and forgiving our siblings. I guess the thought of having to forgive, the thought of not being able to hold a grudge, the thought of turning loose our resentment, that thought of having to care about someone else may have caused some problems with Jesus' disciples, who should also be us. These disciples saw themselves as hardcore believers, you know, the kind of believers who scared the establishment, yet they struggled with turning the other cheek and loving everyone. In my somewhat sanctified mind, I would imagine that since these believers do not necessarily have the heart to act believably, they go to the person that they know can help them. The disciples tell, not ask, but tell Jesus to increase our faith. Increase our faith. There are some hardcore believers who walk around today who are just like the cousins in our story. We know what Jesus commands, and we think that if we just get a little more faith, it's going to be all right. You know what I'm talking about. We look at our relationship with God like we're at a drive-thru and trying to order a Happy Meal. Excuse me, God, but I'd like 3 orders of faith, no onions, 2 orders of grace, no cheese, and 1 order of mercy to go. And it's totally baffling to me that the apostles would look for more of something that they should have had an abundance of in the first place. If you remember, our Bible scholars might know that it wasn't too long ago in this gospel that Jesus has sent out his disciples with power to cast out demons and to heal in his name. So faith, or a lack of faith, or not having enough faith, should not have been an issue for us. I mean, these hardcore believers. Unfortunately, today's disciples have some of the same tendencies as the disciples in our story. If we have lived long enough, we have witnessed at least one miracle in our life. If we have lived long enough, we have witnessed the miracle of the birth of that difficult pregnancy that some said was impossible. If we have lived long enough, we have witnessed the miracle of healing when doctors have given up. If we have lived long enough, we have witnessed the miracle of sobriety just when we thought that they or I would never be able to kick it. Yes, church, we are witnessing the miracle of God right here in our faith community. We are witnessing the continued resurrection of a church on Park Avenue. We are witnessing the continued rebirth of a people. We are witnessing the growth of something some ill-informed folks thought was dead. But I might offer the possibility that too many of us hardcore believers are calling on God right now to increase our faith. We all could use some of what Jesus is offering. Jesus tells us that the amount or the quantity or the abundance of faith is not what matters most. If we have faith in God the size of a mustard seed, a faith so small that no one else can see it, that there is nothing we cannot do. We're like those little engines looking at that big mountain and thinking, there's no way I can do this. Who am I to make a difference? We are the ones to say that something is impossible, but Jesus teaches us that just a little bit of faith, not a lot of faith, but just a little bit, a skunch worth of faith, leads us to invoke that campaign cry of a former president when he said, yes, we can. It's not necessarily that we need more faith, but rather, what are we doing with the faith that we already possess? How are we using our little bit? How much faith do we need to invite someone to experience what's happening at Park Avenue United Methodist Church? That's rhetorical. How much faith do we need to be present and to become a positive presence in our community? How much faith do we need to truly become that one place where people feel safe and valued and worthwhile? How much faith do we need to know, not think, but know that we can do all that God has truly called us to do and be all that God has called us to be? How much faith? Now, the last part of the scripture upsets some people. It upsets some people. I mean, some people become offended with the subject of servitude or slavery. But there are certain realities surrounding slavery that do not change. No matter whether the slave is in the field or in the house, they are still a slave. It does not matter if the slave is black, white, brown, Asian or indigenous American, whether they are a college graduate or a high school dropout, whether they are affluent or living below the poverty line, whether they are influential or inept, whether they are a saint or a sinner, a slave is still a slave. Being that we are slaves, it is important to remember, I'm not going to get political, but I wonder with me preaching this sermon how this might play over in D.C. right now. I'm sorry. I digress. I had a moment. I couldn't help myself. All right. Being that we are slaves, it is important to remember that regardless of how much we do, we cannot do more than what is expected of us. How in the world, better yet, why in the world should we expect to be more, to be thanked for doing what we're supposed to be doing? I honestly believe that some of us think we can curry favor with God. I mean, I can hear it now. Look, God, while listening to the temptations, I stood up to temptations and didn't cause any temptations. I rebuked and forgave. I have my skunch worth size of faith. Now, where's my prize? If we were truly honest with ourselves, some of us might even admit that we place human expectations on a God whom believers profess exceeds all human expectations based on what we are used to or how we have been raised. If someone does something nice for us, we are taught to say thank you. If we require some sort of assistance, it seems to come more quickly if we use the magic word attached to it, which is please. Admit it. Some of us want to hear God say thank you. Don't say that out loud. Just think it. Some of us work really hard performing the believably believable acts of a believer, not because Jesus taught us to feed the hungry or to clothe the naked or to visit the prisoner. No, we do what we do because we want that thank you from the big kahuna. That's the big cheese. We want to be the first ones on our block to get that thank you, better yet, a thank you note from God. We feel like God owes us something for living a good Christian life. And we don't understand, and what we don't understand is that we receive God's blessings because of grace. And grace cannot be earned. God's grace is a free gift that even a worthless slave receives. God's grace is that last ingredient that, when mixed with faith, takes the little believer from someone who thinks they can to someone who knows with God, I know I can. God's abundant grace and mercy and the worth of our mustard seed-sized faith make us those little believers who could and better servants of the Lord. You know what I'm talking about right here, maybe. Doing what we are supposed to do, not for a pat on the back, but because we are supposed to do it. Becoming that little believer who could caring for the sick and becoming that little believer who could, reaching out to youth and becoming that little believer who could, starting up new ministries without complaining or grumbling or holding on to the nays of yesterday. I have always believed that God's grace and our faith make anything that we do that is of God, blessed by God. What I mean is that as Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell once sang, ain't no mountain high enough and ain't no valley low enough to stop this little believer who can. You see, unlike the little engine who thinks he can, I'm that little believer who with God knows I can. I said, by grace and faith, I can, and I know I can with God. By grace and with faith, I can overcome hatred and phobias. I know I can face up to unfairness and bullying on the street and in the courts. I know I can speak out against inhumane and, I believe, unlawful mistreatment of my siblings born inside and outside these United States of America. I am that little believer who could. And by grace and faith, I know I can. I know I can take some time away from the golf course and spend it mentoring a teenager. I know I can spend a little less time in front of the television and a little bit more time with my family. I know that I can put a little less effort into trying to get out of serving and a little more effort into serving effortlessly. I know I can, I said, I know I can. When I hear people say, no, you can't, I laugh. And I shout, by grace and faith, yes, I can. When I hear people say, you'll never change, I say, by God's gift of grace and faith, yes, I did. When I hear people say, you can't win, I shout, I'm rolling with the divine one, ha, and the battle is already won. And then, one day, I hope to hear that whistle blow. And I hear I can't change to I think I can. And then one day I think I can will be changed into with God I know I can. You see, one day I heard the whistle blow and I found that gift from God called faith. Yes, church, I found out that I have faith the size of a mustard seed. It wasn't a whole lot of faith. It was just a scunch, a little bit of faith, but it's enough. And I start hearing that whistle blow. I can hear the whistle and I know that God's grace is amazing. I hear that whistle and I know that God's mercies are truly tender. Yes, I hear the whistle and I know that God's love is truly divine. I know this. And I know with God in my life, I can. And so when I look at the mountains in my life and I hear naysayers saying nay, and when I start to feel like there's nothing else that I can do, and when I get tired of non-supportive support, and when I get sick, and when I get weary, and when I become discouraged, and when I'm talked about like I have a tail, and when I'm ignored or verbally abused, I just listen for the whistle. I listen for the whistle and I start to feel myself moving. I listen for the whistle and I begin to think, yes, I can. I don't pray, Lord, increase my faith. I pray, Lord, let me use my little bit of faith that you've gifted me. I listen for the whistle and I feel myself beginning to move. I feel my soul picking up speed and I start to speak the words, with God, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can, because I am the little believer who could. There may be someone listening today who feels God speaking to them. There may be someone who is hearing this today who hears that whistle starting to blow in your spirit. There may be someone who's listening today who can hear God putting words into your heart. With me, you can, and through me, you will. Are you the believer that could? And can you hear the whistle blowing? If you're there, then let us together be about God's business and become agents of change. And to all, I say shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.